That's Agnes, a 7-month-old sea otter pup who was rescued and sent to the Alaska Sea Life Center in Seward. She's swimming around a pool with another orphaned otter. The center's marine mammal curator, Derek Woody, says the otters don't have any blubber. They rely on their thick coats of hair to stay warm.
What they do is they groom themselves and they'll blow air into that fur, and it creates like a little bubble of air, almost like a wetsuit to keep them warm in 40-degree water.
That same chilly water rushing into Agnes's pool is also being used to heat most of the building. Tara Reamer-Jones is president of the Sea Life Center.
It's hard to explain. It doesn't actually seem logical. I'm actually trained as an engineer, and it still doesn't quite make sense to me. But effectively, we're running a reverse refrigerator.
The Sea Life Center converted to the seawater heat pump system to save money. Tons of money. In 2008, the center heated with oil, and their energy bill was $1.2 million. Last year, they spent less than half that amount. With savings like that, the entire system will be paid off in 8.5 years.
Being able to reduce our energy costs as much as we have has enabled us to stay successful and be open to the public and keep our costs under control.
So how does it work? Facilities Director Daryl Schaefermeyer takes me to see the system. First, they pump seawater into the building. They already do this to fill tanks and pools for the animals.
Right now, we're probably moving about 3,000 gallons a minute of seawater constantly through the building.
Some of that seawater goes into a tall, thin metal box called a heat exchanger. You know when you open your window in the winter and all of your heat rushes outside? It's trying to warm up the cold air. The same thing happens inside of the heat exchanger. The seawater runs on one side of a titanium plate. On the other side is basically water and antifreeze. The heat from the seawater rushes into the antifreeze mix, warming it up to the same temperature. Schaefermeyer says it then goes into the heat pump, which is run by electricity.
The refrigerant comes into contact with that 47-degree water temperature. It causes it to boil, turns it into a vapor. Then we use, there's compressors in the heat pumps that then compress that vapor, and when you compress a vapor, it gets very hot.
That compressed vapor produces the 120-degree water that heats the building and the pavement. Then the antifreeze loops back to the seawater to start the process all over again. Schaefermeyer says for every unit of energy added to the system, you get out 3 units of heat, and it's more efficient with higher loads. He hopes the technology will be used beyond just the Sea Life Center.
But we want to be able to ultimately see this technology exported into areas where we can heat downtown business districts, heat communities, literally, with this heat.
And it is possible. Andy Baker, the consultant who helped design the center system, says ocean heat pump technology is already widely used in Norway and Sweden. You just need community buy-in and cheap electricity.
If you've got low-cost hydropower and expensive heating oil or propane, that's where you're going to see the heat pumps going in first.
Baker says people in Alaska are even starting to install small-scale projects that work on the same concept but draw heat from the ground or lakes instead. But the technology isn't useful in some of the communities that need it most.
It's tougher because the cost of power is usually a lot higher. The cost of power, for example, in Dutch Harbor is about 42 cents a kilowatt hour. That's more than twice what it is in Seward. So the economics are not nearly as favorable there because of that high cost of power, because it's made from diesel fuel.
But in Seward, where electricity is supplied by Chugach in Anchorage and runs about 12 cents per kilowatt hour, the innovation helps keep Agnes the otter happily swimming and squeaking.
Agnes is a very vocal animal, and it just happens that way.
In Seward, I'm Ann Hillman.